the party.
Hey, Rob, it's Ed Hawk. Do you ever be willing to wear a V-neck?
Brain Dead Radio presents.
It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
We've got to survive. Somebody's got to survive.
They are multiplying too rapidly. This situation must be controlled before it's too late.
All right, damn it. Now we've got a war.
We have a special treat for you.
They must be destroyed on sight.
When there is no more room in hell, Ed will walk the earth.
And with that, I am now back alive, walking this very earth. I am Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall.
Yes, we're back once again on The Ed Hawken Show. It's been about 2 weeks and a lot of things have happened, so let's get down right down to it, as they say.
Yeah, the shit has gone down.
It's in fact gone real, I can definitely assure you. Now, for those of you who are not members of the Brain Dead Radio forums, there was a lot of business going on. From last episode, I admitted to not watching many horror movies, not many at all. Well, as things the days were going by, and granted I was under a very stressful work environment, it was a real pain in the ass, I effectively pulled a David Letterman on the Brain Dead Radio forums. I had came out, as it were, and stated that I had not seen Dawn of the Dead, the 1978 original done by George Romero. Well, with that, the website basically had a stroke, and you may have heard from Brain Dead, the latest Brain Dead Radio episode, where I'm basically repeatedly crucified. So, Randall and myself have, come back here to do a show. I have seen Dawn of the Dead now. I have some thoughts, and we are going to discuss that, along with many other things. But it's not all bad news, because Shamrock Shakes are finally back. So
yeah.
So have you had one? I have never had one. So are they any good?
I love them. I look forward to them every year.
Okay. Well, with that, let's get down to my thoughts on Dawn of the Dead, and horror also. Well, I could say...
you've seen it now.
I've seen the original Dawn of the Dead, yes.
And so you didn't enjoy it, is that right? Or how do I...
Well, here's what I want to say. I did not hate this movie, but as I said on the forums, I said it was meh. It just didn't appeal to me. I didn't get into it. I mean, I saw Romero's points. It just didn't care for it. I want to point out, I didn't say the movie was utter shit, because there are other movies that deserve that title, Smoking Aces, but this movie is not terrible. It just didn't get me hooked in like the way the other guys over at BDR were talking about.
I mean, you just feel like you're not connecting with the whole thing?
Perhaps. I mean, I enjoy a good, zombie movie as much as the next person. I know Shaun of the Dead is basically a love letter to the Dawn of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead is awesome. Zombieland was some great fun. But I just did not enjoy the original. I just felt very underwhelmed, and I just didn't enjoy what I was seeing. I did respect it. I understand the movie was done for a very low budget. I could see what Romero was trying to do. But I thought, I just left me in the wind.
So how did you feel about Tom Savini?
Tom Savini was all right. I was a little... To me, I mean, I got what Romero was saying about basically humanity will break down and fuck each other over in the face of imminent doom. But when I saw the biker gang show up, I thought, wait, why didn't we see these guys before? I thought, let's see what these guys are doing, before, because it'll give us some interest, because at the moment it just seems like out of fucking nowhere.
Now, I thought that was the idea. That was the point.
Maybe. Although I never understood why that one dumbass with the sombrero was hanging around the blood pressure machine, and he really wanted to check his blood pressure as the zombies are coming.
I think it was racist. I think it was...
He was racist.
Anti-Mexican.
Anti-Mexican?
Yeah.
Savini's not a Mexican? No, I'm sorry. But there were a couple of good moments in this movie. I liked the scene involving the hillbillies and the hunters going out for a zombie shoot while the National Guard is laughing it up. I liked Ken Furry pimp-slapping a zombie. I also like the zombie kids and the fact Ken Furry had to shoot them. To me, that was something like right out of Assault on Precinct 13.
I guess. That was rad.
But I just, like I said, the movie did not grab me, and perhaps it was due to higher expectations, maybe due to the fact I'm not really a horror fan. I don't know. I just think that it just did not, I'm not gonna say it left me cold, but there were elements that I didn't really like. And once again, I think you had said it best that it is a subjective thing, because you know we had discussed this prior because we wanted to hash out our.
Well,
views.
Yeah. To elaborate, I mean, what's important to remember is that, you know, Romero kind of invented a subgenre mm-hmm. of the horror film,
right?
And you know, if you're not connecting with that, I mean, it's just, I think that just, there's a lot of filmmakers like that. I mean, they corner sort of a part of the...
I think a great example, because we talked about this before the show, is Tim Burton. Because Tim Burton is very much does his own thing, as seen in that College Humor video, where basically they make fun of, because he basically does the same thing over and over and over again.
Well, arguably.
Well, Ed Wood, of course.
Everything looks the same, but the subject matter is always dealt with differently. I don't want to get too far off, because... I'm kind of a Tim Burton fan, not a huge fan, but mm-hmm. I always like that his movies are they're not on the nose, but they always kind of deal with some interesting sort of subject matter.
Fair enough.
And they're pretty cool and stuff, but I think Romero's kind of the same kind of guy, where it's like he made the rules, he does unique, interesting things that not a lot of other filmmakers would do, and mm-hmm. sometimes the movies are tangential and they just kind of go off, and other times they're just kind of just straight up bizarre, you know, or they're structured in a unique way, and it's just it's hard to, you know, you can't really compare them to anyone else or you know, even fully, I don't want to say fully understand, but you know, it's just he has his own unique set of rules and his own style.
I think a certain comparison would be kind of even like John Carpenter. I bet, like, because I enjoy They Live, I think if for some people they would think they may not get into They Live, and I you know, because I mean, it has, you know, it's got its cheesy effects, but you know that movie's incredibly enjoyable.
I don't know how that's possible. Yeah,
yeah, oh yeah. But in terms of, you know, I like I said, you're right. He set the rules, which is why it's, you know, it's kind of perhaps to say jarring. And I understood these are the slow shambling zombies. Now we've dealt with zombies time and again.
We have personally.
Yes, we have. Yeah. Yes, we have. And it's. For me, as I was watching this movie, it was like, because they're so slow and shambling, it's like when you see people that are fucking up, it's kind of like, come on now, they're right there. But once again, you said it best, you know, that's how he wanted to do it, because there is a point. Someone said it was to represent basically the slow encroachment of doom. Now, it's not like in 28 Days Later. Yes, I know they're not zombies. They're just infected individuals. But
well, yeah, let's... I don't want to get... It's hard to get too scholarly on the whole zombie thing, because mm-hmm. it's like... I mean, they're I'm not saying that there's not more to it than you know, just, you know, undead monster people or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that his decisions were shallow or anything, but let's... Right. On a visceral level, you're just talking about, you know, slow-moving... evil, well, not evil, but, you know, slow-moving creatures that are going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's still enough to take away from that to, you know, be scared or fearful or at least create suspense and drama, you know?
I think you'd be right in suspense and drama, because this movie is not scary at all.
Oh, absolutely
not. I can assure you. Now, I could see... Now, I'm just saying this. I could see why this movie was remade. I could see it, because there's just... For any, you know, for a new generation, perhaps, to speed things up.
That's the thing. I mean, I'm going to disagree only because, although I have to say, I have to preface, I've never seen the new Dawn of the Dead, the Zack Snyder version.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of Snyder, so I'm probably never going to see it. But the idea of, I feel like the expectation of the zombie movie somehow got a little mixed up over the years, because I think it's starting to, the expectations of the zombie movie have been kind of turned into like an action movie type thing. Like, you're expecting a lot of action, a lot of like, you know, John McTiernan or Tony Scott type elements.
Do you think that was mainly because of 28 Days Later? Was that because of that? Because that was, I can't think of any other zombie movie per se prior to that was not either done by Romero or, you know, Savini, I think. Because you get into that murkiness. I did see the original American cut of Dawn of the Dead. I did not see the Argento cut.
Yeah, I've never seen
it full C, but that'll lead more into the my views on horror in general. So I think maybe that was because of that. I think maybe it was because of 28 Days. It's also because of, you know, we're how ADD addled we are, that we need you know, something to be faster. Now, pacing was not so much of an issue for me, but it was, to me, I didn't get into it because, for me, the characters, I mean, I, you know, we're just not appealing to me. I didn't find him to be very interesting or likable, for that matter, except for Ken Furry. Now, I did like that we were dropped in the middle of a crisis. We don't know what the hell is going on. All hell is breaking loose. That was great. To me, it was also that I knew this movie was very low budget. I could see what Romero was trying to do with what he had. I think had he had a bigger budget, I think there would have been much more. There would have been a lot more to sell. I think it was just being overly ambitious, and it shows. That's just in my opinion.
Yeah, I disagree, because I think everything that he was trying to hit on was pretty much adequately represented in the movie. I mean, I didn't see anything that happened that really, you know, set back the storytelling in any way. I mean, mm-hmm. There's some funky kind of effects by modern standards.
Well,
I mean,
and there's a lot of they, we'll talk they about were, the special there were some, effects in just
no,
a
no,
second,
no. I meant so. Like those. That was the part where I think I wouldn't say that was even a seemed like a budgetary problem, but it was just kind of, you know, at that time I think we're dealing with a different budget, a different philosophy behind right. special effects, a different kind of understanding and use of them as well, mm-hmm. and then on top of a modest budget and all that stuff. But it also, it's very bizarre. I think a lot of the things also were mistakes that were left into the movie that were used because Romero thought that they were more interesting, like the fluorescent red blood and things like that that mm-hmm. made it more, like as they, I just read about this, is that they said it made it more a comic book style.
Yeah, I read
and about that. And all that stuff, which is funny because it reminded me of another 70s film that did kind of the same thing, which was Phantom of the Paradise, which is also kind of a comic booky based film,
mm-hmm.
Based on that kind of strong visual style. And everything, and with the jarring colors and all that stuff. And then, you know, Romero kind of used that to his benefit in this movie, made it kind of a surreal, gave it that surreal quality or whatever.
Oh, I do agree.
And everything like that. So, but I didn't feel like anything else out, and I didn't think, you know, like I said, you have restrictions on makeup and special effects at the time. But then on top of that, I felt like all the other production values were pretty strong for the budget that they had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was never a point where it felt like, oh, they didn't have the money for this or X, Y, or Z.
Right.
It looked cheap or retarded. I mean, it seemed, I thought it was great.
Well, that's a good way of putting it. I would say, I wonder if they had filmed the so-called original ending. Because I did read about this, where basically the last two people off themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that would have made, you know, that would have made the movie something.
I
think
gotta say,
to have that
I,
kind
I,
of ending.
I don't know, because like I actually I don't know how I don't know what the consensus is on this, but I kind of mm-hmm. like the not a happy ending, but I kind of like the ending, the theatrical ending.
It's kind of reminiscent of The Thing, which yes, I did see the ending of The Thing, where you know, but you do
what? Wait, are you saying that? This the existing ending is like The Thing?
Well, actually no, because the existing well the ending of The Thing is like it you know they're gonna die. Spoilers for that. They are gonna die because
right.
they're in the middle of the Antarctic. It's very unlikely that they're ever gonna get out of there alive. Now,
I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, what? Come on now. But at the end of Dawn of the Dead, they're just flying around. It's fairly apparent that they're not. I mean, you don't hear what's going on. So, I mean, is it possible that they're going to get away safely? Maybe. But it's more than likely they are going to, you know, they're just going to run out of fuel. I think that, I mean, had they had the original ending where they off themselves, that would have been a hell of a gut punch.
But here's the thing that I like about this type of film and Romero and this ending that we're talking about and the mm-hmm. fact that we're even having this discussion
right.
is based on the fact that there are sort of gaps that leave us to imagine what would happen or what the characters were about, mm-hmm. or what the situations could possibly be in the future.
Right.
And I think that makes for more of a compelling movie that lasts over time, because, you know, there are these discussions about it and these speculations and stuff. And right now, like I said, the fact that we even have this conversation of, like, I wonder what happened to them after they left, you know, after they got out of the mall and they left on the helicopter, it's kind of cool because you get to sort of it's stimulating in a way.
Oh, no, I agree. I do believe that, for the most part, one does not need everything explained to them, because that's unfortunately what happened with the Star Wars prequels. You had, for whatever reason, people want to know the story of every goddamn thing in existence, so everything's got to be shoehorned.
Fucking, hold on, I want to go off on this for 1 second, because right? these fucking nerds, man. Like, I'm a geek, I'm a big Star Wars, big Star Wars nerd, whatever you want to call it. I like the original trilogy and all that stuff. I grew up with it, I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to fucking know how big the Sarlacc pit is, or what the fuck, like, what the hell a lightsaber is, or how it works scientifically.
What are the moving
it's
parts
a bunch of fantasy
lightsaber.
Shit. I don't need to know how it works. I mean, like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, that,
it's a fantasy. It's practically a fantasy film. It's supposed to have technology
for
suspension
of disbelief.
You know
that was done to just to make some more money off, you know, off the nerds.
Yeah,
so
but
Lucas
these, there's still these fucking group
shirts.
Of people that won't let shit like that go, and they gotta get all super, like, pseudo-scientific with stuff that doesn't make any fucking sense to begin with. It's like, there's this weird logic like they need to make all this stuff work. It's like, you don't need to know how fucking lightsaber works. It doesn't make any fucking sense, but that's not why I like it. It's just awesome. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not saying it has to be stupid and like empty, or have no substance. I just mean that, you know, there's a different reason. The movies aren't built on pseudoscience like Star Trek or something like that, or Star Trek The Next Generation or whatever. It's like, you know, that's not necessary. The fact that there's like fucking books about this shit and they try to work it into the mythology really in a really clumsy way, like with these midi-chlorians or this stupid bullshit, it's like, it's completely unnecessary.
And the thing is that with that universe, you could literally do anything. I mean, I just want to give another example of like, and I know Rob, you know, has repeatedly shitted on me for this, is about Doctor Who. Now, I only recently came into Doctor Who just a couple of years ago when they revived the series. Now, in that unit, you pretty much can have any story in Doctor Who. And I know that show is kind of cheesy. Believe me, there's some grown moments in that show. But I enjoy it for what it is. And yeah, I can kind of relate to it. The fact that some loner out there in his little, in a telephone booth going around doing just crazy ass things while finding the, you know, I can think of an example in Doctor Who that kind of reminds me of in Dawn of the Dead. You have these slow shambling zombies, right? In Dawn of the Dead, in Doctor Who, you have the Daleks. If you see what a Dalek is, it's basically like a cookie jar or a giant traffic cone. And these are supposed to be the most dangerous things in the universe. Well, you can't take it seriously. You gotta have a suspension of disbelief, and I totally understand it. Plus, they're just able to do it somehow in the show. And now, you had said it best, is that Dawn of the Dead is a subjective film. It didn't get, you know, didn't grab me.
Well, all films are, I think.
All films are subjective. You know, there is no movie that is universally accepted except Shaun of the Dead. Other than that, there could always be a dissenter somehow, some way. Now, Well, anyway, get back to me on that. But
I'm not going to say.
But
it,
you know, Rob saw two seasons of Doctor Who. Now, I can try and say there are certain episodes I think are damn good episodes. But if he didn't like it, oh well, I'm not going to have a heart attack about it. There's no, you know, it's just how it is. And I think when you have these differing views, you get some good business going on, because not everyone's going to. You don't have basically groupthink going on. Now, I want to make it clear. I'm not going to shit on Dawn of the Dead. I'm not going to say it's the worst movie in the world. That's Smoke and Aces. That's the worst movie I've seen so far. But it did not appeal to me. And I mean, unfortunately, that's how it is. But let me lead into it a little bit of a discussion basically on my thoughts on horror in general. As I had mentioned last time, I'm not really a horror person.
Yeah.
For me, it was a genre that never was brought up in my house. My parents never brought it up. I never really had any desire to see it. And like the video boxes back in the day when you had, you know, videotape boxes, with their crazy art, you know, and all this weird shit on, I was like, oh, I don't want to go near that. For me, and now you lent me some DVDs. I sat down, I watched Texas Chainsaw, which actually was very good. I could see, you know, the influences are there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was some good stuff. Oh, and I want to mention one other thing about influences, just about in relation to Dawn of the Dead. To me, and because of how it spawned and inspired a lot of people, Dawn of the Dead is like the Ramones in terms of punk, because it was the Ramones that inspired all the UK bands to come together and do different things, and out from that came all sorts of stuff. Without Dawn of the Dead, we never would have had Shaun of the Dead, which is an amazing movie, and I think a lot of other stuff. And I think you have to give credit where it is.
Well, I think that's a reverse thing, too. I mean, you got to give credit to Romero for inspiring the film, because, I mean, to be fair to Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg and all the people who put that movie together, right, it's still kind of a Romero movie. I mean, it's kind of like a Romero movie
set in England with
some different... some maybe more compelling protagonists,
right,
for my money anyway, because I really liked the way they handled the characters in that movie. I thought it was really fun.
Oh yeah.
And but overall, it really is just practically a Romero film in a lot of ways.
That's an interesting way to put it.
And without, you know, Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead and the various sequels, something like that wouldn't exist. So I think it's almost impossible. I mean, I shouldn't say it's impossible. I don't understand how. I mean, I'm not sure how you could like Shaun of the Dead and not enjoy the predecessors, but I think, you know, like you were saying in regard to, you have to give it up for Shaun of the Dead, well, I think in reverse, you got to give it up to Romero a little bit. I'm forcing you to say that Romero's an awesome director.
I'm not going to say it. I think you said it best about it. He created his own genre. He set down the rules, but... yeah, I enjoy the people that have been able to run with it and make their own way of it, I guess.
Yeah.
To
me, do you have a favorite zombie movie?
Well, so far it would be Shaun of the Dead. I really enjoyed that. I thought Zombieland was very fun. I need to see some more, you know, zombie-related stuff, though. I still haven't seen, you know, 28 Days once again. I know that they're infected people, not quite zombies, but that's regardless.
I wasn't a big fan of 28 Days Later.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because I enjoy Danny Boyle's work. I got to give this a shot. Plus, I love the parody of 28 Drunks Later. Now, I'm not going to see 28 Weeks Later. I heard that's not actually very good. But 28 Days...
I haven't seen that one either, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of... The only great zombie thing I can think of is the great, you know, segment from Treehouse of Horror. Where, you know, to the book depository.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Take that, you know, Zombie Washington.
It's funny, you know, Dawn of the Dead is such a phenomenon. It's really funny, especially for anyone who grew up at that time who had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
They really swear by it. And it's funny because when I was about 17 years old and I started working over at this comic shop,
right.
Which is actually how you and I met each other.
Yeah.
But I used to work there, and we had, like, this very, you know, real thin selection of, like, this is back in the day, by the way. This there are VHSs in this place, and I did actually own a VCR at this time.
Yeah.
And Dawn of the Dead, I had mentioned it to, we were stocking it, and I'd mentioned it to my boss, and he's like, oh, have you seen it? And I was like, no, I've never seen Dawn of the Dead. And again, meantime, I'm, like, 17 years old, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, holy shit. He's like, you know, take that fucking video, take that home and watch that shit.
Take the rest of the day off. You're going to write a fucking paper on
it. Yeah, leave right now and go watch Dawn of the Dead.
Right.
So anyway, that was funny because it was kind of, it's this huge phenomenon. And that was the first time I'd seen it. And that was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah,
but, amazing. Yeah, and so yeah, it's a really, really big deal. It had a huge impact on, not only on film, but on society and the public at large.
Very
and
true.
Obviously Rob, that Hal Sparks looking motherfucker.
Exactly. Without that
I'm
movie,
not done with you, by the way, Rob.
Yeah.
I'm not done with you yet.
Yes, we'll be going into that more, but it's hard to imagine what could have been had Rob not discovered Dawn of the Dead. He very much could have been doing what he used to be doing, being the lead singer of Orgy. So, anyway, going back to my thoughts on horror, to me, it's a genre that didn't appeal to me much. I'm not a fan of gore. For me, gore has its place. In a war movie, you're going to see it. Saving Private Ryan. In a crime movie or an action movie, you're going to see it. But I think if you have too much gore, it is a distraction. And it's going to pull me out of the movie, and I'm just going to be grossed out by it. Now, I understand that's the point. You know.
What about RoboCop?
Oh, RoboCop. Well, I'm saying that gore has
RoboCop is the best. Some of the
movie. When you think about it, I mean, as crazy as that was not as gory as, say, like that one scene in Three Kings where they show you what happens when he's shot in the gut.
Are you kidding me, man? They fucking blew Murphy apart in the beginning of the movie, man. They shot a fucking hole in his head. They blew his hand off.
Maybe I don't know.
They blew his whole fucking arm off, man.
I don't know. Maybe it's just, it didn't seem, well, they didn't show you all the gristle and the veins hooked out. I don't know. That's just me.
I don't know, man. You know,
I'm just that desensitized.
That was really suspenseful and shit. And
it's nuts.
They blew him apart, man.
It's nuts. And then also the infamous toxic waste scene.
Yeah. Gore is awesome. Yeah.
Surprisingly, I mean, that wasn't as, you know, an example where it can be really gross is in Planet Terror. Where it was like, okay,
what?
That's a bit much.
That was...
I didn't need to see the shots where what happens when your cock gets infected with the gas and it's all in, basically looks like a Pizza Hut deep dish.
Oh, we'll have to agree to disagree because I thought that was so fake looking that I couldn't even connect with it as being a gore. I just thought it was ridiculous.
Okay, fair enough. But
I mean, it worked. I mean, it was interesting. It was funny or whatever the hell it was supposed to be. It was disturbing in a certain way.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say disturbing, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
it got
yeah.
a rise out of me when I was watching it. I was like, oh, fuck. But I wasn't horrified like, you know, again, like with other movies where they add suspense to the gore and it really becomes pretty
right.
fucked up.
Now, the other issue I have, I think, with horror is that these are movies based on their story. Now, the thing about the horror genre, and I've read about this and I've listened to this, is that, you know, it is a great vehicle to tell a lot of great, you know, morality tales. When you have that with the EC Comics, you had that with, you know, with...
Wait. Morality?
Yeah, morality tales.
In horror?
Yeah. Basically about what happens when you fuck prematurely. You get killed. Well, they're making fun of that.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
But anyway, like with EC Comics, they would have their, you know, there'd be morals to the tale.
I don't know about that. It was
really?
More, wow, I don't know, man. I don't know what EC Comics you've been reading, but
Tales from
not,
the Crypt and all that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's always some there was always some dramatic irony or something, but I don't know if I would call it moralistic.
Well, what I mean by not my moralistic that they're teaching you something, but that, you know, this is what happens when you screw over your boss. This is what happens when you're mean to someone.
Like
this
karma.
Something like that. That's what I mean. Like when you're, the moral of the story is, That's what I mean. I don't mean that it's preaching to you as in morality.
Yeah.
I don't, or that, I just, or that they're making fun of it.
Yeah, well, I think that would, I don't know if that would qualify so much as a moral as it would dramatic irony.
Perhaps. I think, and we'll get into irony later in just a bit, because we got some other,
oh yeah,
we got some other, you know, beefs to address, and there's a lot of beef, let me tell you. But going, but as I said, gore to me takes it out, and I'm not a fan of gore. I don't even like Al Gore. That's how much I don't like gore. But I like Martin Gore of Depeche Mode. But anyway, so there's that. And the other thing with horror, with a lot of horror movies, for me, I like to see interesting characters or to have a really good story. There is not a lot of that there in a horror. I mean, there are choice areas, don't get me wrong. But a lot of it is, you know, it is B-movie trash. But, you know, that's how it is. And, you know, who doesn't enjoy
some
trash?
Wait. But I think what you're saying, when you say B-movie trash, I mean, we're talking exploitation.
Yeah.
And exploitation works really well if you can tell a good story.
True.
And 9 out of 10 times, the horror characters that appear are always some sort of embodiment of the audience in a lot of ways.
That's
it's like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre and stuff like that. I'm a big fan of that movie, the original film, the Tobe Hooper version.
Right.
And
that's a good way of putting it.
What I mean is that it's an extension of the audience. Like, you know, they're just random sort of, I don't want to say faceless, but in some films, they're kind of like, you know, just, you know, they're human beings. You know, they're just simply, you know, even archetypal people.
Mm-hmm.
And we can connect with them on some raw, basic level. And when they get massacred, you know, it's really, I don't know. It depends on your experience. I mean, you could say it's scary. It's not necessarily scary to me, but it's like, it's just somehow you get a rise out of it one way or another, or some stimulation out of it. You know, you're either, it's either the suspense, because I know the suspense is a big deal. You know, you're on the edge of your seat or whatever, or some people get really freaked out and scared about it.
Yeah.
And all that. So, you know, it depends on how you feel about it, but either way, it's an extension of you on screen or in some way or form.
That is an interesting thing to say, to view that the characters in a horror are that of the audience. To me, when I would think about a horror character, like when you're like at some like you know, offshoot of like some, you know, Friday the 13th movie, where basically these people aren't, you don't know anything about these people.
Yeah.
They're very, very paper, you know, they're archetypes at best. They're very paper thin. To me, because we don't know anything about them, which is not always necessary. We don't, you know, we don't know who they are. What are they? Are they interesting? To me, that just, I lose interest, because to me, it's like, oh, this is just cannon fodder.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm. That's the delicate balance of the horror movie, and that's why they. It's really, I understand where you're coming from on that, but that's what's interesting about it, is that if you created characters that were too well defined and nuanced,
right,
and they disconnected the audience from these people, like, if you know, in some way or another, I think you would start losing the connection between the audience and these people. A lot of times when you're watching characters who are kind of ambiguous, you get the tendency to start filling in with your imagination what they're all about.
Okay.
And in that case, you start relating to them, because you start feeling like, you know, if a lot of times people, when they size up other people, they inject a lot of themselves into them.
Now, but
that's not always the case, but that happens. Okay. And so when you're watching a film like that, you start looking at this person, you think, hey, I've done that before. I've been in that situation.
Right.
I know that game, whatever.
Right.
And you start relating to that person, and then when they get fucked up or killed or tortured or whatever,
yeah,
you know, it just makes a stronger connection between the audience and this person. That's a theory, by the way. That's my theory on it. I'm not saying that's
here's
the case.
Here's the thing about that I just want to mention, and then we'll move on, is just the fact that, what about in the case of when someone does something incredibly stupid, and you're just like, you dumb fuck, you can't, you know, dumb fuck McGee over here,
yeah,
just pulled something incredibly idiotic. I mean, I felt that way in certain moments of Dawn of the Dead, where it's like,
could you give a specific example?
Well, there's an example. My best example would be is that when you encounter the pilot Flyboy, and he's out there in the mall boiler room, and there's a zombie behind him. He's just wasting ammo. Now, obviously, we know that there's a zombie behind him. He doesn't know that. But the fact that he's pissing away all this ammo at nothing, and then he's basically, you know, dicking around when immediately the zombie jumps on him, and he can't do anything because he pissed away all this ammo.
Okay, I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
You ever been hunted by a zombie?
Unfortunately, I have not. But what about you? Oh, you see what I've done there.
Well, actually, I used to work in this place, but anyway.
Yeah.
But
you work for the Umbrella Corporation, is that it?
What I'm saying is, like, it's hard to tell under certain situations of, you know, stress or whatever, how one would truly react.
True. That's true.
So I can't sit there and judge anyone for acting a certain way in a movie or a character acting a certain way. I understand that, you know, that's at the discretion of the writers and the directors, and if I'm sitting there watching a character, a lot of times, for better or worse, I might just assume, you know what, that's the way this fucker's decided to do something. Mm-hmm. I certainly know I've been in states of panic where I haven't made the most sensible decisions of all time.
No, that's true.
And so that factors in. But then, that's the difference, too. That's my where my theory comes in that I'm talking about here, is that you've said, you know, this guy should have kept a cool head. I've thought, hey, I've done retarded shit when I'm freaked out about something too.
Right.
Or I'm in a certain situation that, you know, maybe I just didn't hold it together, you know, and I just was like, right off, you know, under stress, I just fucked up and did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. We've both projected ourselves onto this character in some way or another. So I think it depends on the audience. I think that's kind of what it boils down to.
Well, that's a very good way of putting it. Now, the other thing I want to mention in relation to this movie is the effects, because that was unfortunately talked about by the Lazy Panda himself. Now I knew the effects were what they were in the 70s, and these, you know, they were fine for what they had. I mean, but going back to a movie and its effects, especially in relation to Lazy Panda, I can understand a movie not having good effects because of their time. I realize that, Panda, and I don't think that I will only watch Spider-Man 2 and not something else because Spider-Man 2 has top-of-the-line effects and not this. You know, and I can forgive a movie for not having the best effects depending on what they have. This movie, Dawn of the Dead, did not have a large budget, and they were pretty innovative. There's a movie I recently saw that came out last year. It was called Sleep Dealer. It was science fiction. Their effects weren't all that great either, but they were a small movie with some very interesting ideas.
Was that the one with the dream people? That weird movie?
Sleep Dealer was the idea that it's a very low-budget movie. The idea was in the near future is that there's a giant wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. So, okay, that means there's no illegal immigration. Well, we still need, you know, basically people to do the shit jobs we don't want. So what do? They have robots do them. Well, who's controlling the robots? The same immigrants that would have been coming over the border anyway, but they're jacked in to the system. And it destroys
them. How is that more economical than just having laborers?
I don't fucking know. That's just the point
of
the
movie.
That's
crazy. Anyway, okay, sorry.
I don't know. The Tea Partiers got a hold of everything. You know these people don't think straight. But anyway, so it's still a great concept. And the CGI is not all that great, but still I can forgive it because of what it's trying to do. And this is a very interesting idea. So I understand this because they're one of my favorite movies because I don't have the favorite movie. I have several favorite movies. Now, speaking of which, Rob has apparently saw Chinatown. I'd love to hear his thoughts. Now, if he doesn't like it, I'm not going to have a heart attack. If he doesn't like it, oh well. That's just how it is.
You say whatevs and move on, right?
Exactly. But we do share common ground in the fact we both love Moon. But, you know, one of my personal favorite films is Repo Man. The effects in Repo Man are not that great, but the movie is awesome for what it's trying to do and the ideas and, the you know, what it represents. To me, anyway. It's greatness. So I don't know if, you know, Lazy Panda was, you know, fucking around. I know a lot of you guys, despite the fact you've broken a lot of balls, we all know we're just kidding around. I can see a movie for a lot of reasons, and it has nothing to do with the fact the effects are shitty. You know, a great example with Doctor Who. If you ever watch a classic episode of Doctor Who, it is incredibly cheesy. But you deal with what you got.
You know, I watched one episode of Doctor Who, and it had no special effects in it. It had nothing. I was very disappointed.
What episode was this?
It was the one with this girl where she was going to school, but she was talking about stuff from, like, the future and stuff. I didn't quite understand. It was the first time I'd ever watched Doctor Who.
Was this the revived show? Or was this like
no,
an
this
old
is
episode?
Old. It was black and white. And,
oh, my God.
It was the original one, and from, like, 63?
Okay, yeah. I've never seen the original ones. I've never seen the first two Doctors. The earliest ones I've seen are from the early 70s.
I thought there was going to be all this space shit and all these aliens
and
stuff. There's nothing going on, man.
Yeah, oh no. I mean, that's the 60s.
There's some teachers trying to go home and try to figure out what's going on with this girl, and I don't know. It was weird.
But I would recommend just checking out Sleep Dealer. I think it's still very good. You know, give it a shot. I just thought it was, you know, it's some real cool ideas, especially if you like science fiction. Now, going back, you know, as we continue on about watching movies, there's something else that was addressed in the latest episode of Brain Dead Radio that definitely needs to be talked about, and that's this idea of watching movies ironically. First off, we don't even know what the fuck that means. What the fuck does watching movies ironically mean?
Well, we have a good idea.
What do you think that idea is?
Well, I mean, I think what Rob was trying to hit on was that it was like we were checking out movies at the New Bev, the New Beverly Cinema, which we constantly talk about on this. But we go there and watch movies that may be, we may know are intentionally bad, and kind of laugh at them or poke fun at them or whatever. And
now,
watch
I want to point out, when we're talking about that these are bad, we're not doing MST3K stuff. No one is talking
back. Well, hold on, because this is, we're trying to just kind of set the...
Yeah, let's set the tone, you're right.
Right, so, you know, we may go intentionally and watch bad movies and kind of just make fun of them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, just to kind of get the ball rolling here, there's been several times we've gone to see actual good movies.
Yeah.
And have gone and have been shown trailers for films that obviously came out 20 years ago or whatever, and they look pretty fucking awesome, and then you go see them and they're complete shit.
Yeah.
My best example was The Wraith, because the trailer so awesome looking, and the movie was such shit. And we didn't go in to laugh at The Wraith or anything. We knew it was an old fucking movie. We thought it was going to, you know, it looked like it could have possibly been a little hokey or dated.
Yeah.
But that's not what, we didn't go to laugh at it.
Right.
We were like, oh, this looks like it could be kind of cool.
And The Wraith is not good. I don't give a shit what they say. It is not, I mean,
I
it's not a good movie,
fight
and you can't
about
even enjoy
that.
It. I mean, here's the thing, when I saw Roadhouse, and you saw, you know, fucking over the top, the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie, which was awesome.
Awesome movie.
When I went to see Roadhouse, I had never seen Roadhouse before, and I knew about Roadhouse. All right, you cannot say with a straight face to me that a movie about a Zen-talking bar bouncer, a movie about bar bouncing, is going to be a good movie. You can probably go to the director and everyone involved, and they're going to say, look, we just knew what we were doing. We were just having a good time. You know, this is not, we're not making Citizen Kane. We don't expect you to give much. We're just here to be entertained. I went into that movie. I had never seen it. I came in there to have fun and have a good fucking time. And if that means laughing it up because I'm laughing at the movie, so be it. This idea that somehow I can't enjoy a movie because it's bad and basically laugh at it is nonsense. Because if that's the case, you definitely can't watch anything Ed Wood did, because, oh, heaven forbid, you laugh at something really bad about his movies. Or for that matter, because there's a great example. If there was ever a way to define watching a movie ironically, it would be a movie that's been playing here for years now. It's called The Room. There's no fucking way you could say there's anything good about The Room other than the fact that it's so bizarre, you'll love it because it is. And if that is considered watching movies ironically, then hand me a PBR. I must be a hipster.
No, it's a good point, because, I mean, we talked about on that one show, was it the last show, we talked about Commando being bad. And I am going to
defend...
Commando
is ridiculous.
Now, Commando is Commando's retarded on a lot of levels, and it's an awesome movie, and it's really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm not sitting there like, oh my god, and just like, you know, making fun of it the whole time, only half the time. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, there's like the weird crazy villain who's like the Australian guy with the mesh t-shirt
on. Yeah, he's
on,
getting progressively
and
fatter as the movie
Yeah, he's gaining weight throughout the course of the movie, and just all this ridiculous shit. But half of that stuff, like, I the villain's retarded. I mean, that's the reaction.
Dan Hedaya plays a Mexican man.
That's the one part of the movie I just can't really get behind, is that villain. But the other stuff, like, I love the scene where fucking Arnold picks up a goddamn telephone booth and, like, throws that shit. I remember seeing it as a kid. I watch it now. It's like, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But it's retarded. It doesn't make sense.
Yes.
It's insane, but it's so cool at the same time that it's like logic.
And that's
logic be damned. It's
exactly
a lot of fun.
That's
to
the
watch.
Same way I felt when I, because you gave me the DVD of the 1994 Street Fighter. Now, I had said that Commando was a parody because there was no way they could have done this completely straight. Now, maybe they did. I don't know. But I have to feel the same way about 1994 Street Fighter. I feel bad. That was Raul Julia's
last
movie.
Hold on. I don't want to cut you off here, but
yeah?
I want to explain that I don't actually own the Street Fighter movie because of any good reason.
Oh, that was, no,
that
was part
that
of
was
a Van Damme 4-pack.
But somebody gave me a 4-pack of Van Damme. It was all on one DVD of, like, Hard Target, Street Fighter.
The Quest,
and
Time Cop.
Time Cop.
Yes.
Which is maybe... that's a lot of Van Damme right there.
Woo!
But
God damn,
but anyway, that was given to me as a gift, and I don't actually
was
I didn't
ironic
I didn't
gift?
Seek no. out not not at all. Well, maybe sort of. But anyway, but you know, I don't actually own Street Fighter because it's good or anything like that. I didn't go out and buy Street Fighter.
Now, Street Fighter,
I hate that movie.
Now,
by
here's
the
other thing about that: when I saw Roadhouse and you saw Over the Top, these are midnight movies. Midnight. Let's think about that for a second. Midnight movies. So you know what you're going to see when it comes to a midnight movie. Now, about Razorback. Rob never said he saw Razorbacks. So I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Sit down.
Yeah, sit down and shut up. But basically, with Razorback, we thought we were going to see something good. I had seen clips of it from Not Quite Hollywood. I thought it was going to be good. This movie was not good. There was nothing to enjoy about it. There was not. It wasn't even really appreciative on any like bad level. I mean, you can chuckle and laugh, but even then.
Well, it wasn't hokey in a good way either. Yeah. It wasn't like something where it was like, oh, it's ridiculous, but it's still fun to watch.
Yeah.
Oh,
we know
it's way well. It's way out there, but it's cool. It's weird. It's but it's cool. It had a lot of interesting things that happened, but none of them really connected and made like a cohesive, interesting film experience on any sort of level I could kind of understand. And it was you just went in with an open mind, you know, hey,
yeah,
this could, maybe it'll be cool. If it isn't cool, maybe it'll at least be interesting, or it'll yeah. turn out to be something different than we expected, but
right.
still entertaining. But it turned out to be pretty boring and
kind of
crappy.
The same way with The Wraith. Once again, that movie is not good. It's that, you know, if I'm not going to sit there and just be bored out of my fucking mind, I might as well do something that I can enjoy this movie with. I mean, Christ, as I mentioned one time ago, I saw Wisdom. That was a movie directed by Emilio Estevez. And I was like, oh my Christ, this movie is terrible. It's just dumb and terrible. And that's just how it is. And if I, you know, as for watching a bad movie and to enjoy, there are dozens of movies, especially movies from the 80s that are so ridiculous you cannot help but enjoy them. I mean, Cobra, goddamn, most Stallone movies, you know? I mean, but you're going to enjoy it for how it is. And if that, you know, you're not laughing at, you're just reveling in it. And that means, you know, it's just some good shit right there.
Yeah.
Same thing with Commando. And that's because that's one of the best examples.
Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash is another example, because if I didn't revel in how ridiculously crazy and awful it is, I wouldn't be able to enjoy it any other way. I mean, Christ, in Tango and Cash, the LAPD has their own James Bond-style crime lab. And there's a monster truck, because in the late 80s, there were just monster trucks. Tango and Cash, I can enjoy. Beverly Hills Cop 2, not so much. So because the movies are so ridiculous, that's the only way to really enjoy them. And if that's what, you know, like I said, you know, I don't see how that's watching movies, ironically, but I think really what it is just that, you know, the guys over at BDR are just jealous that they don't have such a fan fucking.
Well, it's funny because we go, you know, you go see like Over the Top, and you go see Commando and movies like this, and it's funny because, well, actually, when you go, I should leave Over the Top out of that, but when you go see Commando, or we saw Hard to Kill,
yeah,
Hard to Kill is impossible to watch without firmly understanding that this is retarded. This mm-hmm. is insane.
Oh, it's terrible.
Seagal is a clown ass. He's a fucking narcissist. Like, you watch every... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, you clearly see he's trying very hard
and
to be
when
something...
When it comes to that like that, I mean, that's a certifiable piece of shit. I'm going to fucking enjoy it, and I'm going to laugh at that movie
but
a lot.
But there are really, you know, there are really kind of... I mean, that would be a movie that I would admit to watching, ironically, completely, mainly because... you know, I don't think there's any other way to really enjoy mm-hmm. it. I don't think anything in there is genuinely that cool or anything.
No.
It's really hokey. It's like, you can see what they were trying to do, but man, does it get really cheesy and really, it just seems like a sort of a failure on a lot of levels.
Oh, yeah.
But it makes it funny in a way. And then, you know, you got lines like, you can take that to the bank, or I'll take you to the bank.
Yes.
The blood bank. You know,
well,
stuff
that's
like
from
that.
Torque.
Like,
that's from Torque, actually. Don't
that's
get
from
th-
that's from Hard to Kill, man.
The blood bank?
Yeah.
I don't remember. That really was
yeah,
it.
He says that when the senator guy's on TV.
Shit.
Or
I
whatever
actually,
the fuck.
I thought that was
I say
from
senator.
Torque.
I forgot if he was like, I don't forgot what his rank was.
The dude, the naked guy from Die Hard 2.
The villain, yeah.
Yes.
Of the movie.
Now,
it's been a long time since I've seen
it. I want to point out that also the new Bev has some amazing movies that I have seen, and I'm very fortunate to have seen. Freaked. I got to see that. I got to see Miracle Mile, which had a hell of an ending. I got to see Matinee, which is not on DVD.
Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat. I know those guys didn't like it, but fuck it. You know, we enjoyed it, and maybe it was because we were in an audience. I don't know. But there are some good stuff there, and it's always, you know, it's such a great place to see that kind of thing on 16 millimeter, whatever film, you know, actual movie film. Is these
yeah.
days, but that's how I see, you know, watching, you know, movies. Ironically, yes, if that's the case, you know, give me a PBR, will you? But you know, I watch other movies. Yes, I watch other movies. I don't just sit around watching Ragtime. Which, once again, for those of you not out there, I had seen Ragtime 10 fucking years ago. I saw it on tape, and the only reason I saw it on tape was because at the time, I remember reading some old article in Entertainment Weekly. They were talking about great final roles, and Jimmy Cagney is in that movie, and it's his last role. It was directed by Milos Forman. It's just, and there's a lot of people in it. I remember Samuel Jackson has a blink and you miss it part. Jeff Daniels is in it. And you know who else is in it? Motherfucking Mandy Patinkin is in it.
Yeah.
So these assholes are making fun of Ragtime, not realizing that Mandy goddamn Patinkin. You don't fuck with the Patinkin.
Well, to be fair, I can't defend the choice to watch Ragtime on any level.
I saw
level.
It in 2000.
No, I look, it's okay. It's okay. Relax. I just can't. I can't get behind you on this. I can't. I just it's you know we're letting that slide.
We'll have to let it go. I think.
Yeah.
I think,
it's just,
I
we gotta mean, move. We gotta move on.
I was just watching all sorts of different movies, and there's still shit tons of movies I have not seen, and a lot of classics, but it's just a matter of time and what interests me, you know?
Yeah, it happens.
It happens, and you just, you know, trying to make your best effort.
Can I do an addressing of my own of a situation here?
Well, we can do that in just a moment. We actually have ourselves a voicemail in our segment of Talk and Cock with the Hawk, so we're going to take a brief break, listen to this voicemail, and respond. And if you folks have any voicemails you'd like to give, remember, it's 206-337-8802. That's once again, 206-337-8802. Talk Cock with the Hawk. We'll be right back.
Ed, this is Vin. I honestly don't know what to say. You broke my heart, Ed. You broke my heart.
And we're back. So we heard the voicemail from Talkin' Cock with the Hawk. Vin, I realize I broke your heart, but, I play by my own rules. I'm a loner. I'm a loner, Dottie, a rebel. So,
like a drifter, you were born to walk alone, you might say.
Yes, until they find the cure to contain the raging beast inside me. Anyway, what else did you want to talk about, Randy?
Well, speaking of voicemails, I got a voicemail I want to address.
Yes,
from,
you did, actually.
Brain Dead Radio, where I was included in and called, quote-unquote, fail sauce. And to paraphrase this man, this so-called Fred Durstian disciple, who is this guy?
He is known as B-Metal Sucks, but you can know him as Fred Durstian, a dinosaur, a.k.a. John McClane.
There you go. This guy,
John McClane,
included me in a voicemail about failure on part of our good friend Ed here. And to paraphrase him here, he says, fail, 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 fail. Now, I wasn't paying complete attention. I just heard my name and fail in a sentence.
Right.
And we have, I'm a little...
A little upset?
I'm trying to get my shit together here because I'm a little pissed.
Get a hold of yourself, goddammit.
But I just wanted to say, you know, it's all right. I'm cool now. And this guy, he can go ahead and buy himself the new Puddle of Mud CD. Go ahead and relax a little bit. Try to get it together. I know we've incited a lot of nerd rage based on this, you know, Dawn of the Dead controversy that's arisen here.
I probably committed some caused a few heart attacks.
Yeah, and you know, he can go ahead. I'm just assuming based on the voicemail that at some point this man has said legitimately, get her done.
Oh,
and
no.
That's a kind of a victory in itself.
God.
It's all right.
All right. Moving on, I think with the fact you said get her done, I think you had something else you wanted to address. Is that correct?
No.
Are you sure about
that's
that?
It. I'm done.
You sure about
I'm
that?
I'm leaving. I just
you got, I think you got some more
I'm
stuff to say.
I'm fucking pissed. I can't get it together.
No, get a hold of it. You're going to fucking do this, man.
Yeah, no. Rob, also, I wanted to address something that might be a big problem. I'm a little concerned for Rob, host
okay,
of,
why are you
co-host of Brain Dead Radio.
Yes,
because I looked up on WebMDB, and I think he might have Jensen Ackles fever.
He's got the fever, huh?
Yeah.
And this ain't going to be cured by no cowbell, neither.
No, actually, it might be just an eye patch, but one that we don't want anywhere near the man in question, Mr.
Okay.
Ackles. But, you know, he brought up that we hated Ackles as a choice for Plissken based on the fact that he was just on the CW, and it was, quote, a bitch move hate Ackles because he was purely because he was on the CW.
I want to point out that Rob was under the influence of about 25 beers at that point.
Right.
I mean,
but he's
man,
still...
man drinks like a Kennedy. So.
But he's still accountable for it.
Yeah,
words.
Oh, that's true.
But no, I just wanted to bring this up because when a man calls another man a bitch or implies such...
And we're not in prison.
One is inclined to defend themselves.
Yes.
I just want to say I don't hate him because he's on the CW. I don't like him as a choice because he's a terrible choice.
There's something to point out also, because I did listen to that message that myself, and he mentioned about Kurt Russell was the guy from the Computer War Tennis Shoes. Computer War Tennis Shoes was done in the early 70s. Obviously, Escape from New York was done in 81, and he was already friends with John Carpenter due to a little thing called Elvis. Now, and also, Kurt Russell had done Used Cars. So he wasn't some, tween bullshit actor. He had done some movies, and he was fucking awesome in those movies. In fact, I can't wait to see Elvis, the TV miniseries, because they finally released it on DVD. So it just happens to be on Long Wait at Netflix. But he had some stuff under his belt for him to become Plissken. I still don't know who in this day and age could be Plissken. But I'm, who knows?
I was thinking about
it. Could be John Krasinski, since they got him for Captain America.
Well, they said they want to. They'll be the skinniest Captain America.
And Rain Wilson will become the Duke of New York.
Actually, I was hoping Rain Wilson would play the Red Skull.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good point.
I hope so. But anyway, going back to Jensen Ackles, I was thinking about his acting style and his kind of stiff, kind of like tight mouth, he can't really get the words out. It just bugs the shit out of me. He's kind of a stiff actor. I mean,
here's the thing I see regards to Jensen. Now, I've never seen an episode of Supernatural. I do need to get around to seeing some few episodes. Maybe it's the material, and because we haven't seen him in anything else. I mean, I don't know what else the guy has done.
He was in, Rob brought this up too, he was in My Bloody Valentine.
Did you see My Bloody Valentine?
No, I haven't seen it, but okay. He was in that, I'm just saying.
Okay.
He was also in,
was in the friggin' Britney Spears movie, yet she got on Avatar for some reason.
Yeah.
So who knows, but also that kind of
I was
shows.
Thinking, Rob, I mean, maybe you just want Justin Long to play...
Justin Long is Snake Plissken?
To play Snake Plissken mediocre young actors.
Then they're going to get Victor Salva to direct. It's going to be a reunion of Jeepers Creepers, and we're all going to feel filthy.
Oh, yeah.
We're all going to feel filthy.
I was thinking about it, though, in regard to Supernatural, and I haven't seen much of it, but I was watching Friday the 13th, which had the other guy from Supernatural in it, his co-star.
The longer-haired dude.
His co-star. And I think he already had the hair. He had kind of a deep voice going on. He was kind of a badass in Friday the 13th. I thought, why not just put an eye patch on this guy and call him Snake Plissken?
So the other guy, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I would say I'd go for the other guy's Plissken before I went for Ackles as Plissken. I just can't accept Ackles as Plissken. I will never concede on this. Everyone who doesn't agree with me is wrong. I'm sorry. That's just how it goes.
You're just saying that they're wrong, but they don't necessarily need to get royally fucked. I think we don't need to go that far.
No, but I think they just need to admit that they're wrong and that this is
This is Rob Hughes we're talking about here. I mean, the man has yet to even have me on his show to debate him, kind of face-to-face, seeing how he's about 19 states away, but...
Are you saying he's a coward?
I'm not saying he's a coward. I mean, you could be my mean Gene Okerlund in this and that. Anytime, any place. I mean, I can't out-drink the man because I will die of alcohol poisoning because, like I said, the man drinks like a Kennedy.
Well, but... I know before we got on the air here, we were talking, and you pulled out, like, a big fucking Rambo knife, like just a big hunting knife, and you started picking your teeth with it.
I did grab the mic and said, Bert, Hughes, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, anytime, any place, I will rip this motherfucker apart.
Yes. I'm actually wearing a tux right now and holding a mic in front of you, because we're both sharing the role of Mr. Mean Gene Okerlund. But, so is there anything else you want to mention? Or
Did we already say Commando is awesome?
Yeah, Commando is
also
awesome.
It's also got a retarded villain in it.
Yes, with Dan Hedaya playing Mexican. Yeah. I know in terms of other, I did see Shutter Island last week. I thought it was pretty good. I had read the book when it came out, and I already knew the ending. It was solid stuff. Very, it's pulpy, and it's ridiculous, but it's good. It's very, very good, and, Scorsese was really having some fun with it.
That's cool. I still haven't seen it yet, so
I recommend it. It's not groundbreaking stuff, but it didn't deserve being held up or anything. So that's all there is to it.
We'll see. Yeah, Scorsese is a controversial filmmaker. I remember when The Aviator came out, and that was one of those love it or hate it Scorsese movies.
I actually like The Aviator quite a bit, and I just dug it. I like the history.
But I like the cinematographer on there, Robert Richardson. He's amazing, and he did a lot of really great work on that movie. And also, I like Scorsese, and I thought it was really well done, and it was a good movie and everything. But man, you bring that up to people who really hate it, and they get all over your ass.
Well,
about
the
it,
funny
man.
Thing about it is because I wasn't all that crazy about The Departed, but that's just me. To me, it ran a bit long and. I just didn't, it wasn't as, interesting as some of his other stuff.
It is a long movie. It's quite a long journey of a film, but it's good, but it does,
yeah.
I think you're right about that. It does go on quite a bit.
I mean, to me, the Oscar for when he got it was like a gimme, but, I'll never, fuck the Oscars. I'll always say that. I know that's going to be tomorrow. Over here in, beautiful Los Angeles, it's, they're all planning for it, and, I think they may try to make an attempt to be with it. And they're going to give it to Avatar. It's like, whoop-de-fucking-do. So, because we know District 9 isn't going to get it.
Too bad.
Yeah, I know. It's a real shame.
Well, that was a good movie. I don't know if it's like...
He wasn't going to get it. But it was just that they did that weird thing where they expanded Best Picture into 10 names.
Yeah.
So, it's just ridiculous.
I don't know. I didn't see every single movie last year. So, I don't know what is, considered a they always go for like the... kind of safe dramas or something
maybe,
like that. Yeah.
Maybe, or just the movie that does not deserve it somehow wins it, Crash.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but I ain't got time for that, nor do I got any time to bleed. But is there anything, you wanted to mention? I think you wanted something about video games, or I haven't been doing a lot of video gaming. I've just been, busy. I mean, I had to go watch Dawn of the Dead. So, I couldn't really be sitting down and playing. I haven't bought anything new. I know, I've just been playing Bioshock 2, and... which I still enjoy. It's I said on the, I think it was the episode with the King of the Jews. It's basically the first game, and it's to me I enjoyed it. It's not anything earth shattering, but it was still some good stuff.
It's funny. I have no. I was the other day. I was at a friend's place, and I was been drinking, and we were playing this old. On his Xbox, he had all these old Nintendo games, and we were playing I don't know if it's the original Star Wars game for Nintendo.
Okay.
The one where you go around on a land speeder and you go through all these random levels that have nothing to do with anything that was going on in the movie.
Right.
And as a kid, I could never really get past Boba Fett. I get the shit raped out of me when I get to the Boba Fett part.
Well, all those NES games were really ball-breakingly difficult.
Yeah,
but
there's this one particular part where you get to the Cantina level, and I remember this, and this brought back a lot of haunting memories when I was a kid, and Boba Fett will just rape the shit out of you, because you're like Luke Skywalker, you don't have any powers yet, you don't have anything. Yeah. You're basically the douchebag Luke Skywalker from the beginning of the movie. You're some farmer asshole, and you got a gun, and you're flying around, and you're trying to get past, and trying to get your shit together, and you're driving around. I mean, the game starts and you're already driving around on your land speeder. You don't have any backup or anything. Obi-Wan's not there to like cut the shit out of some crazy testicle-faced monster that's screaming at you or whatever.
Solo isn't there to gun some guy down.
Yeah. He's not fucking Greedo or anything. You know, it's like you're on your own, and you get to this. You get by okay, fighting Womp Rats in caves or whatever the fuck is going on, and then you get to this part with Boba Fett, and he's just spraying you with these crazy laser. Balls, things are flying through the air, and he just rapes the shit out of me when I was a kid. I could never get past it when I was a kid, and I gave up on it years ago. And then all this was brought back to me, like a Vietnam flashback, playing the game. And as an adult, I got the shit raped out of me again at this part. Couldn't get past it. Played it till like 4 a.m, passed out, and just wanted to share my pain with everyone.
Yes.
On it. I feel very vulnerable here because this is really personal.
This is
as personal
that,
as it's gonna get.
It's funny because as I said, those games were ball-breakingly difficult back in the day, and now. That leads to a lot of people complaining about games of today being too easy and that you're led by the hand. I think for me, because I'm a very, very casual gamer, I don't have the time to deal with shit like this, and I want to enjoy what I've got. I mean, that's why I'm playing Bioshock 2 on easy mode. And because right now they have the new Mega Man 10 coming out with Sheep Man. But
with Sheep Man?
Sheep Man is in this. It's a robotic sheep.
Oh, no.
I know.
That's not replacing Rush, is it?
No, he's not. He's not. It's a robot boss. It's not the robot.
That's
dog.
A boss, sheep
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Does he shoot sheep at you?
Does
he have a sheep based level?
Maybe.
It's like on a farm or something.
He's got a wool thing. He's got a tuft of wool.
Really? Do you have to shave him to defeat him?
Maybe. I don't know. You got to shear him, I guess. Maybe. But you know, people were talking about how it has an easy mode. I you know, for me, because I don't have, like, and I imagine a lot of people don't have the time, because, you know, we work for a living. We don't have the time to go over level again after again after again. If it gets too difficult, I'm going to say, fuck this, I'm going to be done with it. There's a really cool thing on that guy with the glasses called Until We Win, where there's this guy, I think he must be from, like, Jersey or something. This guy will play any shitty Nintendo game and beat it with no cheat codes, nothing. And it amazes me the guy has the tolerance to do that. Because the thing with, like, a lot of these games, and they were incomprehensible pieces of shit, I mean, it'd just be ridiculous. I mean, when the AVGN did that stuff back when he first started, that was some interesting shit. Nowadays, it's just garbage. And also, he had the, you know, the nerve to complain about Metal Gear Solid, which I never played, but...
Wait,
I mean,
am I getting worked up about Metal Gear Solid?
I don't know. I mean, it's... I don't know, because Raiden's a hot piece of ass. Let's just say it right here, right now. But anyway...
I like the original. Are you talking about the PlayStation?
The NES game. The NES
game. Wait, the NES Metal Gear?
Yeah, Metal Gear. That's it.
You're thinking Metal Gear Solid was the PlayStation?
Metal Gear Solid was the PlayStation game. I meant the original NES Metal
Gear. The original Metal
Gear.
Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Okay, I never
Which I can
that.
Understand, because I think it was really weird how some of these games were, like, how complicated they were for an 8-bit game. It's really ridiculous, but... it's, you know, some people say, you know, games should be like that now, and it's just like, you really, you know, come on. I think it is funny how that kind of turned out, but I think it's just for game companies, it's more of a wider audience thing.
Yeah.
But it's
they give you the options.
Yeah, I mean, there should be an easy mode. I don't know why any game should be, you know, ultra difficult or designed in such a way where it's impossible to get done, and it's just not. It shouldn't be that way. In terms of any upcoming games that are appealing to me, I think the only one I can think of at this time is this new Red Dead Redemption, I think. Yeah. It's kind of like that game Gun that you had.
Oh, yeah.
The Western. This is going to be another one, and I hear it's going to be awesome.
Oh, Gun was great, man. You had to drink whiskey to heal yourself.
Yeah.
Killing.
Westerns make a good video game genre. It's good to see. Because I was awesome. Like, you know, good Gatling gun action, maybe some steampunk.
You know what was really depressing? I bought the Ghostbusters video game. I have a Wii. I ended up getting a Wii.
Yeah,
I just kind of came into it, as a gift. And
now, you have the virtual arcade, but I don't know if you ever got bought into that virtual console where you can buy the old NES games.
I think you have to get on the internet for that.
Yeah.
I didn't bother. I got real lazy with that
right.
Wii thing because, like, I don't know. The Wii wasn't an investment, so I don't give a shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so, my girlfriend and I were playing it, and we had fun with some games and stuff like that, and it was fun for a while and everything. It gets a little boring after a while.
Yeah.
And she's, like, playing Zelda on it and stuff like that, and that's kind of cool. But... I'm not doing shit with it, but then when the Ghostbusters game came out, I thought it was gonna be really cool because you could use the Wii controller and it'd be like fucking being a fucking Ghostbuster and shit, and you could like go around zapping ghosts and everything.
Yeah.
I haven't played the other versions yet, which I hear aren't much better, but
no.
I haven't played them. I'd like to give it a shot someday, but I haven't had the time right now. But the Wii one really blows. It really sucks, and. The it's actually really complicated to try to be a Ghostbuster in the game, not just the gameplay, but, like, you know, the art is terrible, the production values are awful. They made, like, cartoon versions of the Ghostbusters, and not like the cool cartoon versions from the 80s, but like these new kind of really retarded looking cartoon versions of the Ghostbusters. The graphics are really bad, and even for Wii it's bad. Like, not every Wii game looks like a piece of shit. At least in my opinion, I didn't think it looked that bad.
Right.
But this one in particular looks really awful. You're really going back to, like, PS1 style graphics almost here, just with the simplicity and kind of, like, weird animation.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like this was an afterthought game. And then you gotta, like, it's real complicated to fight. I wouldn't say fight the ghosts,
the ghosts.
Like, you got to use, like, all these different weapons and stuff
right.
like that, and you're kind of like, look, man, I just want to zap the shit out of some ghosts here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to, like, do all this shit while you got the ghosts, like, waving the retarded controller around and doing all this stupid crap, and, you know, it got so tiring after a while with the bad... And then if you play it two-player, it cuts the screen in half, and there's, like, all the Ghostbusters, by the way, appear on screen... when you're playing the game. So, like, if you and your co-player, like, if you and I were co-oping on this game, it's not just both of us being Ghostbusters going on a mission. It's us and four other Ghostbusters. So when the ghost comes in, there's 19 streams of energy flying all over the screen, and you got the split screen, and there's,
like,
you know...
Michael Bay, you can't see
shit. God, I can't tell what's going on. I can't see the ghost. I don't know what's happening. I'm getting a seizure.
You get yelled at by William Atherton
from a light show and all this shit. I just can't figure out, you know, and maybe I have too small of a TV for this, but it really just... didn't work for me, and I just, oh man, it was a nightmare. It was such a huge disappointment, and it was such a kick in the balls as a fan of Ghostbusters when I was a kid.
Not only that, because that whole thing, that whole franchise is perfect for a video game. They've only had one decent video game. It was apparently for the Genesis, which I never got a chance to rent.
Oh, I never played that.
Because we all played the NES one.
I played the NES Ghostbusters 2 game, which was terrible.
Oh, the first one is just as bad. I mean,
yeah. You know what? I think there was an Atari one. This is going way back. I think there was
an
Atari one back in the day. Yeah. I may have played it, but I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Well, I mean, you can't even say about Atari game sucking because they're Atari
they're
games.
Just pixels,
Yeah, little pixels of squares.
Speaking of having to go harkening or calling back to our old conversation about using imagination in other mediums, you know, subjectively, that Atari, man, that made you have to really, really use a lot of.
That was it when you had it going. I mean, you know, that was an amazing thing, and that was incredibly expensive. An Atari machine, I think, probably was the cost of like when a PS3 came out. It was outrageous. Really? $700. I remember, hell, the SNES must have been like I think it was $200.
Yeah.
And same thing with the Genesis, and I don't know what a Nintendo was, because, I mean, I got it in 89, so. But, I mean, the funny thing is the video games have actually cost about the same since even way back when. They've always been like $40, $50.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily now, though, with like new games, I mean, if you go to GameStop or something like that, you can actually get pretty good. I got the, you know what, I went to GameStop when Ultimate Alliance came out, and I bought that for like $20.
Yeah, I picked up that Tom Clancy game I like played once, because Rob on the boards was talking about, oh, we got to get this, and I did a little, you know, co-op, but I never been able to get rid of it.
Was it like Rainbow, like one of those?
Splinter Cell.
Yeah. That franchise has been around for a while.
I tried doing it, I couldn't, but then I can't even read Tom Clancy to begin with, but it's like reading the phone book. I know, because I got like Borderlands, and I'm like, I'm really considering trading it in, because I'm just bored by it. It's not my thing. And there hasn't really any video game. I think the only video game I want to pick up, so long as I have the funds, is actually the Arkham Asylum game. I've yet to pick that. I wanted to get it. I ended up not picking up, because I think I wanted to really get Bioshock 2.
Yeah.
So that's been, you know, how it is. And other than that, I just, you know, it was just playing 1 vs. 100, which they have, it's on hiatus, and never got to be the one. But it's just been, you know, not much going on in the video game world. I just, you know, 360 has been mainly used for InstaView. And you know what's on InstaView? Con Air.
I think The Thing is on InstaView too, by the way.
It was. Yeah. I checked last time because I wanted to get, you know, finally, you know, watch that, and it was not. I think they took it down.
Check again.
Yeah, I know. they rotate it in and out. So that's, you know, that's all there is to it. I know I got some, you know, nice TV shows to watch, and I think I want to see The Ghost Rider, but I'm trying to...
Ghost Rider, the old show?
Not the PBS show. This is the movie with Ewan McGregor and Pierce Brosnan.
Is it a remake of the show?
No, it's not. It has nothing to do
with
the show.
Nothing to do with The Ghost Rider?
There's no flying punctuation mark that only Ewan McGregor could see.
When I was a kid, I got so disappointed when I heard, like, and I'm talking, I didn't see it on TV, I just heard this title come up.
Okay.
When I heard that there was a show called Ghost Rider, and it wasn't Ghost Rider, the Marvel Comics character, the
didn't
flaming
you see
skull
how
head.
It was spelled? It was
no,
W-I-R-T.
I'm saying, like, I heard it on TV, and I forgot what the deal was because I was a kid. You know, I was a stupid. Yeah. I was a stupid kid. I don't remember, but.
I used to watch that show too.
Yeah, but I mean, I heard it. I don't remember what the context was that I heard it, but I just remember actually seeing a promo and then crushing my illusions of the Ghost Rider show.
Oh yeah, I mean, I watched it when it was on PBS. It was actually a very good show. The only thing that bugged me in that show was like the way the kids write was so fucking slow. It was their penmanship was great. I mean, my handwriting is garbage, but it was just. I mean, and the funny thing is, the very first episode I think deals with Willie from ALF being an arsonist.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that guy.
Remember when
that guy made like a random appearance on Friends? He was the coffee shop guy.
No,
just for like one episode.
But I read. Well, not only was he busted for DUI some time ago, but I was like going with the National Enquirer. He was like in some gay porn thing. I was like, oh
really?
My god.
I don't doubt it.
Oh god.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about, you know, when you star at ALF, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider was. I mean, it was an entertaining edutainment show, you know, you learn some stuff, you know, saw some stuff. And then they tried to revive the series, I believe, on CBS. This is when they had Wheel of Fortune 2000 back in 97. And
wow.
It didn't work. Although
I would imagine.
Yeah, but it was still a pretty good...
I never watched educational shows when I was a kid, like cartoons and stuff, because they were really boring. I watched all the dumb stuff.
You didn't watch Captain Planet?
No. I've seen Captain Planet.
Yeah,
you know, when I was a kid,
hero.
When I was a kid in school, they had the guy... who did the theme song for Captain Planet.
You're
and
kidding.
This is around 1994. They had the guy who did the theme for Captain Planet, composed it. They got us all together in the auditorium, and he played it live on these synthesizers. And, like, it was going to be exciting. Like, you know, they brought him in, like, oh, kids, we got a treat for you.
Yep.
And granted, even at this time, that show was old.
Right.
That show was like.
So that show came out, what, like 91, 92?
90?
Something
90,
like
91, I think.
Something in that area.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it was 89, but I really think 90, 91, because it was around that whole Earth Day explosion
thing.
Yeah,
there was a big push environmentalism in the very late 80s.
That was when we all got chlorofluorocarbons and shit and recycling just hammered into our brain.
Yeah.
Like, I can't throw away a six-pack ring without cutting it first, because I know a dolphin is going to get mangled in it.
It's funny that my father would say, hey, how are you supposed to catch fish?
You know? Exactly.
But, yeah, and there was a big push on environmentalism, and it's funny, speaking about Captain Planet, because I was talking to this guy last night at this bar I go to, and his sister was a bureau chief for CNN, so he's very familiar with Ted Turner, and I was like, oh man, that must have been something else, and to be dealing with that guy, but apparently he was, you know nice.
Bat shit insane.
That too.
Yeah.
That too, but speaking of that, it was very funny that I also mentioned him because I had seen this segment of Larry King that had Johnny Weir on it. And Larry proceeded to use the word fierce. And Weir is about to laugh, and I'm laughing watching. See, he used the word fierce in the Project Runway sense, which I had never seen. But
you know, Larry King is still pretty sharp at his age, by the way.
I've been told he is a weird dude. But it's funny you say he's sharp. To me, I don't think he's with it at all.
Well, I don't mean with it. When you say with it, you mean like hip? Like,
no, I'm just mentally there.
Mentally with it? I don't know. I've seen him on a couple interviews, and he was pretty sharp. I mean,
really?
He seemed
doesn't
pretty,
seem like that.
Seemed
when
pretty together when I saw him, but I'm going on the basis that he's like 170 years old, and he's practically a reanimated
corpse. I just
go
back to what Norm MacDonald did as Larry King. I think that was just the best way to, you know, when he would just say the most random shit ever. And
I guess. Yeah.
I wish I could quote some of it. I just don't remember it off the top of my head. But
doesn't he just like blurt out shit that's like ancient, like just like talk about the railroad or something?
Something like that. Yeah. Or you know, and then bring in callers. But you know, education TV. I mean, there was some good stuff. But it's always tough because it's I just to think of like what is good that isn't like being, you know, too preachy or just really, really boring.
Well, I remember like smart kids watched like Carmen Sandiego and all this stuff like that.
I used to watch.
Yeah, because you were smart growing up, and like I was like, you know, education wasn't a big deal, so you know, it was like, oh, I watch Ninja Turtles and I watch Power Rangers and all that shit.
Well, it's funny, I discovered with Power Rangers, I saw the very first season, I was blown away by it, and then when my sisters and brother got into it, I was like, well, that's the end of that. I can remember going to, I think it was...
would you, like, hate your sister and brother or something?
No, I just, like, I can't enjoy watching the show anymore.
Why? Well, because they liked it?
Yeah, because they...
Did you hate them?
No, I didn't hit them, but...
No,
I belted
hate
them. Did I hate them? No, I belted them a few times, but...
I'm not saying hit. I said hate.
No, I didn't hate them. I hated the show, but... It's funny because I can remember, I think it must have been like 1993 because that's when the show came out. I remember being at my sister's elementary school. It was like some Halloween thing, and some kid had a homemade Power Ranger costume. I was like, oh man, that's something. But it's funny, speaking of that, that show just ended now.
Well, they had a lot of stock footage. Like, I don't know if you know, like those are based on all those Japanese Sentai shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 50 billion of them. They all
it's
look
like
the
Gundam.
Same. So like they can just take stock footage from all these shows,
yeah,
you know, and then import it into whatever the fuck is going on with their.
It's crazy that I think the actors that were in probably the last season were as old as us. So although I think it's all filmed in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So. But it's just funny to think about that. And then, and obviously the Green Ranger's, like, all tatted up and is an MMA fighter, and he can, like, really kick ass. And then, like, I think it was over on the BDR forums, someone put up a picture of what happened to the Red Ranger, and it once again went back to gay pornography.
Yeah.
So,
you say went back. Was he doing those?
No,
like,
it just went back.
Was that, like, a safety net for him?
Maybe. No, I'm just saying it was the topic of gay pornography just came back because someone put up a picture, thankfully tastefully censored, of him involved in it.
Oh, but, are you serious? Like, he was just, like, knee-deep in some...
Well, he was yanking it to the camera, from what I can tell of the shot.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
And he was, like, way too buffed out.
Oh, shit.
That weird
I haven't seen that. That would have shattered me.
Well, why you wouldn't want to see that at 10, but...
Well, I don't know. I'm saying, like, I mean, if I was on a message board and I saw that posted somewhere...
Well, you'd expect some shit like that from 4chan, but you never really would encounter that. But in terms of cartoons of the day, I mean, I've talked about this. I thought, you know, I loved Gargoyles. I know Rob shits on Gargoyles constantly, but...
Why? Wait, whoa, he doesn't like Gargoyles?
Well, the thing is with Rob is that he is right. Batman the Animated Series was the best goddamn thing out there in existence. Now,
that's the best cartoon ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
But there are good cartoons. I mean, they are not obviously on the level of Batman the Animated
Series. Gargoyles was Disney's answer to Batman the Animated Series.
That's a very good way of putting it. And I mean, you know, I was talking to the King of the Jews about this, and I said, hey, you know, I mean, it dealt with myth, it dealt with Shakespeare.
I actually, my girlfriend and I rewatched that show because we remembered it when we were kids and we didn't quite... You know, we knew we had seen it, but we didn't really remember anything about it. We just had bits and pieces.
Yeah,
like,
it's on DVD.
I always like the main things I remembered was like Xanatos, the plot with the castle, and all the different gargoyles. So we rewatched it again, and it really didn't hold up very well. I mean, it wasn't like an awful show.
'90s for it,
but no, hold on. Like the stories were really disjointed. Like they never really went anywhere. You know, they just kind of like were a lot of setup. And like the follow through kind of fell off. Like you just never felt like you got any conclusions with anything. It was almost like it was like Lost. It was like an animated version of Lost. It just kept going and going. And after a while, you're like, come on, will you please? I like Lost, by the way.
I hear it's been stepping up recently.
No, I really like the show, and I like Lost. I'm not trying to crap on Lost, but I just meant like, what if Lost like never went? Like if it was always just in a constant state of never answering any questions.
Yes.
Of just, you know, like repeating season two or three or maybe three over and over and over again, and you're just like, come on, get it together.
It's like move along.
So it didn't hold up like Batman the Animated Series did.
Yes. And I mean, there's the animated Carmen Sandiego cartoon, which I thought was really cool. And
I thought that's what we were talking about.
Well, there was
there more? There was other.
There was more than one. There was the one on PBS that was a game show.
Yeah.
And it was a cool game show, and with Rockapella, and they did a sequel called Where in Time, and it was
Where in Time. Jesus
is really ridiculous, but yeah, the animated cartoon was all right, featuring Squidward as the voice of the chief. And, you know, you had the Disney anime, you know, the Disney cartoons in the afternoon, you know?
Yeah.
And it was all right. And, but it is a shame.
There was in the 90s, they had I mean, that was when we were watching cartoons, so I bring it up. There was obviously, from many other decades, there were great cartoons, but, you know, you had, like, the Batman cartoon, which was obviously supreme in the 90s because it was a really well-produced show.
Yeah.
And then you had, like, The Tick, which is a really great show.
Oh, yeah.
And holds up pretty well. And, X-Men, which I really like. I know that...
It has its problems.
I fucking love the old X-Men cartoon.
The fact that the... I mean, you have to give them credit for the amount of stories they were able to do.
Yeah.
And it was fairly dramatic, even though it isn't the... I mean, the animation wasn't of its best quality.
The adaptations, I thought, were great. Yeah. They took all this history and kind of distilled it into, like, this interesting continuity in its own right, and thought it played out pretty well. Plus, there's some real definitive voice work in there. Like, Wolverine, obviously, you can't really match that.
Sure. Would you say it was better than the mid-90s Spider-Man cartoon? Or
I'm not a fan of the mid-90s. I know that's really controversial, because, like, the mid-90s Spider-Man cartoon is, like, this holy grail for a lot of people.
Really?
But I don't like it because I'm a big fan of like the old 60s Spider-Man comics, and they like that's kind of like rooted in what the character's all about to me. Mm-hmm. So watching like the kind of super I don't want to say science fiction because it's all science fiction, but that kind of like
laser guns for guns sort of thing,
like this kind of weird I don't know, like the kind of stuff like, you know, in the movies they kind of establish the mythology pretty well, like Mary Jane and, you know, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the character drama and stuff, and they kind of replace that in the cartoon with like a lot of like weird pacing and weird reimagining of villains and kind of like
and then they brought in Carnage.
There was a lot of it was like a lot of Blade and vampire shit, and the chapters went on forever, and it was like it just a lot of like leaps of logic, and but in ways that were really bizarre, like the Kingpin, you know, and all that business. And I remember one thing, that like the Hobgoblin coming before the Green Goblin was really weird, because like Green Goblin was like his major foe, like the greatest, greatest enemy of all time, and then turned out, you know, I don't know, all these weird stupid geeky things about the show I didn't really
thought the way they did the lizard was pretty good.
That was really cool.
I mean, let's put it in perspective, this was still better than MTV Spider-Man.
Everything is better than that. Sloppy.
It was terrible. Now, I haven't seen The Spectacular Spider-Man, but it's not for us.
I watched it a little bit because I'm a big Spider-Man.
Peter Parker and his like cookie eyes, and you know.
Well, the art's really weird, but it's not that bad. I mean,
I just don't want to see another origin story again. I mean,
no, they didn't do that.
Okay, because I tried watching The Batman. That was god.
Oh, that's terrible.
Jesus H. Christ.
That was sad because like they made the new show, but you know, Jeff Matsuda, the guy who produced that, is a '90s comic artist who's one of these like Rob Liefeld kind of guys.
Yeah,
like,
and Bruce Wayne has the face of an M&M peanut.
He looks like Jackie Chan to me.
He kind of does. He kind of does. And then obviously you have the weird ass Joker. I mean, I you know, the thing with comics is that obviously every artist has their own style, so it's not necessarily a big thing about like, oh, the Joker has dreads, I think that means it's the end all be all, or the Riddler looks like Marilyn Manson, which was kind of fucked up, but.
That didn't bother me so much.
Yeah, no, the writing just is garbage.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Really,
it was.
It
also
really
it had
terrible.
such a huge, like, such a, you know, the standard that it was. The bar had been raised so much that there's really not a lot they could have done to keep it.
Yeah.
I mean, even the guys when they reinvented the series in the mid '90s, when they did the new Batman Adventures with, like,
yeah,
Nightwing and shit, they couldn't even keep up with themselves.
No,
I mean,
they couldn't, because I'm not a fan of the last.
And
part.
Speaking of which, Batman Beyond is awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
I think I heard something on another episode, or you told me.
Yeah.
Somebody was knocking Batman Beyond, and that show rocks, man.
That show had some very good moments. It is not, once again, I know Rob, you
it
know, we'll talk
about
Batman Animated Series, but there are other shows that are good. We're not saying they're not as great as Batman Animated Series, but goddamn
well,
it,
if,
let's
if
have
anything,
some
give it credit
here.
Because it gave us the Return of the Joker, which is an awesome movie.
Yeah, it's a very good animated movie. I mean, Batman Beyond had some really good episodes. I mean, it's not as good as Batman Animated Series, but let's open up the field here.
It was
for some other stuff.
It's funny. It's like the legacy of that. To keep it brief, was like, they were either going to go to the team who had done the original animated series that it was available to them to do,
mm-hmm,
or they were just going to do a teenage Batman series without them.
Right.
So basically, this is the best version of that we would have ever gotten, I think, for my money.
Yeah.
And I think it was a cool idea, too, the idea of expanding on the mythology to where, you know, if these characters don't exist forever, kind of touching on the mortality of a lot of these fictional characters and stuff, and really humanizing them, and then also kind of branching out. And then it turned out to be like a big Marvel whack fest too, in a way, which I liked, which was like, it was basically Spider-Man. It was Spider-Man as Batman. You know, he has the same exact origin as Peter Parker.
Good point.
You know, except it's his dad who dies instead of his Uncle Ben.
Right.
And stuff.
But
George
Takei didn't murder Uncle Ben, I think, as Mr. Fix.
I don't know.
Sure,
I have to go back and watch. It's been years since I've seen it.
But
you know, there's a lot of great stuff in that show. But
yeah,
I just wanted to come to the defense.
I mean,
of that show.
And if you know a little bit about the history of the show from the Bruce Timm commentary, I believe. I mean, hey, they did that show while they were doing Superman, and I think, you know, I may have been doing the last season of Batman Animated Series. So
yeah,
they were really, you know, the fact, I mean, they were hard-pressed and were still able to pull something pretty good was worthwhile. Although I will say, I hated every Kirari episode. I did not like that character at all because she was too perfect. It was annoying.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan, but I did see a picture because they kept hiding her face.
Yeah.
And I saw a picture, a drawing of what her face really looked like.
Right.
And it was awesome, dude.
But even though that character was annoying,
looked
shit,
like a zombie, man. It was
that,
great.
But I could not stand that character. I
come in full circle here. Looked
but,
like a fucking zombie.
Well, there you go. It's
yeah,
well played. Well played indeed. But yeah, that's all there is to it, I guess, unless you want to think about anything else. But I think we certainly laid it down.
No, I just want to tell Rob again, if you've had a prolonged Jensen Ackles erection, you should see a medical doctor and get that looked at, man.
Yeah, good point. No healthy man should be exhibiting that for hours. And,
right.
That's a very good question. But
yeah,
I think, you know, once again, the beefs have been addressed. You know, there's no reason to go, you know, volley back and forth. You know, we'd want to talk about other business. And there will be other business.
Yeah, we'll be moving right along.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I can assure you at some point I'll watch the thing and, you know, get some real enjoyment out of that.
Yeah, give us an update.
Oh, well, no doubt about it. And with that, for the Ed Hawken Show, I'm Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall.
Quality is job one.